You're listening to River to River on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Emily Woodbury in for Ben Kiefer. With me now is Des Moines Register health reporter Tony Leitz, who's here to discuss some of the things he's reported on this week. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Emily. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks so much for joining me today.
You bet.
So you reported on the news this week that Iowa approved five marijuana dispensaries, the licensing for these dispensaries that we could see by the end of the year being set up in the state. Is that right?
That's the plan.
And you published an article with the headline, "Does that mean you can soon get legal pot?" Now, I'm assuming this isn't a simple yes or no question. What are the details here?
Well, anybody who thinks they're going to be able to get marijuana that they can smoke and get high off is going to be deeply disappointed. These stores are not going to sell smokable marijuana, and they're only going to sell to people who have state cards saying that they have one of the conditions that qualifies you to purchase products developed under this program.
Mm-hmm. And remind us, what is legal in the state? What will they be offering at these dispensaries?
They're going to be offering oils, creams, gel caps with the oil in it. They're talking about making suppositories, and at this point, that's all they're planning to do. And it will have cannabidiol in it, and some of it will have a little bit of THC, which is the chemical that makes recreational users high. But it's going to be a pretty low amount, so you'd have to take a lot of these oils or these capsules to try to get high off it.
Mm-hmm. And what cities met those licensing requirements?
They gave out licenses in Windsor Heights, Council Bluffs, Davenport, Waterloo, and Sioux City.
Mm-hmm.
One of the surprises to me was that there wasn't one in Cedar Rapids, Iowa City corridor, which is obviously a big population center and tends to be pretty liberal politically, where you'd think there might be more interest in this. But they decided for geographical reasons to spread it out as much as they could across the state.
Mm-hmm. So patients that, you know, live in wherever in the state have kind of a max of, what, 1 to 3 hours drive to get the medicine?
Yeah, I would one, probably closer to 2 hours, but yeah.
Okay. Yep, and well, also a big chunk of southern and northern Iowa were kind of excluded from this list. You can see kind of a band across the state where these dispensaries may be up.
Sure, and that was mainly based on where the population centers are. There wasn't anybody who applied for one in, say, Ottumwa or Mason City, and I think that's just because there wasn't a big enough population center for them to think that they could make a go of it.
We'll talk a little bit more about that, about the demand for this, because you reported that fewer than 400 of our 3 million residents in the state now have a permit to access this type of medical marijuana. That's a really small amount.
It is, because there's no doubt that at least tens of thousands of Iowans could qualify if they wanted to. You have to apply, you have to get a doctor to sign or another healthcare practitioner to sign a form saying you have one of the qualifying conditions. And that's not, so far, always an easy thing to do. And right now, you can't use those cards to buy anything in Iowa. So it'll be interesting once these stores actually get open if there will be more interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there were only 400 people across five dispensaries, you can see that there's not going to be a big moneymaker here. And the main company, which has two of the dispensaries and is the only licensed production facility, is owned by MedFarm here in Des Moines. They're spending over $10 million to set up a production facility. If they don't get more customers than that, it'll be hard for them to make a go of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious because I wonder if, you know, there's any lessons to learn from Minnesota's medical marijuana, setup system where, you know, people from Minnesota reported that their medical marijuana program was kind of crippled at first because it was so restrictive that dispensaries, you know, they all registered a combined loss of $11 million in the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm. There is a push already for the legislature to expand the law that they just passed last spring to allow more THC and to allow doctors to essentially say whatever condition they think could be helped by this, they would sign that they believe their patient could be helped by medical marijuana. and leave it up to the doctor just to decide. I don't know if that's going to pass this spring, if the legislature is going to be very excited about expanding a program before it even gets up and running. But there is pressure from the folks involved in this to do that for that very reason.
Well, and of the medical marijuana substances that would have more THC, which currently isn't allowed in Iowa, you know, what would that help?
The proponents say that the main group of folks who that would help are people with chronic pain, that it's the THC that really helps them, and that what they're going to be selling under the current law really would not be of much benefit to them, which makes you wonder how many of them would just buy marijuana on the black market, and there obviously are people doing that now. It both has higher THC and probably will be cheaper, and also you can buy it in almost any town in Iowa. You wouldn't have to drive 2 hours to get it. So that is the reality of where we're at.
Mm-hmm. I want to have you respond to someone commenting on your article. This is kind of interesting. Lauren wrote that, quote, you know, maybe you only have 300 applications because doctors such as the ones at the Iowa Clinic have decided not to allow their patients access to the medical marijuana. Lauren says, I filled out the paperwork since I have Crohn's disease, asking my doctor of 13 years that I see yearly to sign it for me. And he said that the doctors have decided not to allow this in their practice. Is this what you're hearing from patients and doctors that you speak to, that doctors are just kind of avoiding this for now and seeing how things shake out in Iowa?
I don't know if the Iowa Clinic has put that down as a policy. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I do know that some doctors are saying they're hesitant. They haven't decided what to do because it puts them in an unusual position. They're not prescribing these drugs. They're not prescribing a set dose and a set amount for a set condition. They're just being asked to sign a paper saying my patient has one of the qualifying conditions. So the truth is there isn't as much scientific research about medical marijuana as there is for a lot of other medications. That doesn't mean it doesn't work, but doctors don't have a lot of studies to prove that it does. I mean, critics will counter that, yeah, that's because the government has pretty much barred research into its use, and that's a fair point, too. But it does put the doctors into a little bit of an awkward spot. I'm not sure that most of them have decided they're not going to do it. What I'm hearing is a lot of them are hesitant and are trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, remind us, what are we going to be seeing in the coming years, these dispensaries get set up and ready to open?
Well, they're going to be relatively small retail shops. The company that's going to run the one in Windsor Heights, which is Des Moines suburb, described to me as looking a little bit like a combination clinic pharmacy, that you'll come, there will be quite a bit of security, you'll come in the front door, and you'll have to show your state cannabis card to even get in, and that then once the security guard lets you in, you'll be brought into the back, and you'll meet with the staff of the store about what your needs are and what you want to buy, and they'll show you what your options are. Mm-hmm. It'll be pretty low-key. I don't expect it to be like Colorado-style, wide-open, Wild West kind of thing.
Before I let you go, let's touch on a bit of weird news that you reported on this week. You reported about a drink that, among other, you know, health benefits that it claimed, it said it's a kind of a drinkable sunscreen, that it could protect the drinker from the sun's rays. Tell me a little bit about this scam. What happened here?
Well, the Attorney General's office looked into this, and it was hard for the media to pass up a story that included the phrase drinkable sunscreen. It was a company that was saying it used a special electrical contraption that some Iowa farmer invented to turn water into a magical elixir that if you drank a little bit of it, it would prevent you from getting sunburn. It also, they sold versions of it that would also prevent mosquito bites and treat your autism. And the ingredient list was water, period. And they were selling it for $30 for 3 ounces. Turns out this was not a great idea.
Tony Lace, health reporter at the Des Moines Register. You can follow his reporting on Twitter at Tony L-E-Y-S. Tony, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.